like that music. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm still William Cooper, by golly. Well, for all of you woo-woo guys and gals out there and everybody that, you know, stays up all night and has got to have some kind of entertainment. And if you're listening to it for entertainment, that's fine. But remember a long time ago when Art Bell left for the second time? Or was it the third time? Remember I told you he would not be gone for long? That he would be back, and he would come back with a much higher salary and all that kind of jazz. Yep. And so he's back. Starting tonight, Art Bullshit Bell is back on the air. Oh, my God. What is he going to pull now? Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we, folks? For the... For those wondering what's going on in the Middle East, Ariel Sharon will win the election tomorrow. He will win the election tomorrow by a landslide, I might add. And when he wins, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump till a full-blown war erupts in the Middle East. Because that's the kind of guy he is. Yep. And he will begin right off the bat mounting some pretty impressive military attacks against the Palestinians and their Arab helpers who have been making Barak's reign as prime minister so miserable over the last year or so. So that whole peace thing is finished. It's over with. You got Bush in the White House. He's got to clean up the Middle East for his dad, who forgot to go and get Saddam Hussein. And so there's big pressure on Little Bush to get Saddam Hussein and vindicate his father. And do you know he will do that? Not only that, but if he mounts a war in the Middle East, guess what? Price of oil is going to go through the roof. What's his family business? Oil. Who are all his family friends? Oil. What is his father's business? Oil. Where did they make all their money? Oil. It's very simple, folks. It's not hard to predict what's going to happen in the world if you just do a little basic research. Ariel Sharon is a hard-nosed, go kill them, you know, wipe them off the face of the earth kind of guy. George Bush Jr., oil. Put these two guys together, big war, Middle East. Can't fail. Bet money on it. You'll make a killing. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to happen. How many times am I wrong? Lock up your military-age children, and that's men and women, folks. Remember, women are eligible now. Men and women, lock them up. It's going to be a war in the Middle East. The armed forces are going to be expanded like you've never seen before. Get ready. If you love your children, lock them up. Or you could pretend, I mean, you could really pretend that a war in the Middle East is really a good thing and very patriotic. You could pat them on the ass and send them off to die over there. And then you could, you know, hang a little gold star in your window and a flag on your porch and sit back and tell everybody what a sacrifice you made for your country. Yes, you stupid sheeple. Isn't it funny? Isn't it strange that people have been fleeing from California for years. The population of California has actually dropped. It's actually gone down. It's actually decreased. And all of a sudden they have an energy shortage in California. Not enough stuff to burn to make these plants work. Ariel Sharon is going to be elected Prime Minister of Israel tomorrow. And we got an oil man in the White House. Ooh, one who owes a debt to his father to clean up the mess he forgot to clean up in Desert Storm. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yep. And they're already, Bush has already allotted money to give to Saddam Hussein's enemies. And there are stories in the paper about Iraq has atomic bombs. That's a lie. They have no atomic bombs. Just yesterday, there was another story that appeared that says an ex-United Nations inspector says Saddam Hussein has this real bad biological warfare weapon. It's funny, when he was a UN inspector over there inspecting, he said Saddam Hussein didn't have any such thing. Now he's an ex-inspector, he says he does. I wonder how much they paid him to say that. Saddam Hussein has been under such scrutiny, and Iraq has been under such scrutiny. He doesn't have any of it, folks. None of it. They're building the case to send your children off to die in the desert sands. And you know what? As stupid as Americans are nowadays, they're going to fall for it. How come nobody else is telling you these things, folks? How come I'm the only one that knows it? Huh? Yeah, if you got sons or daughters military age, you better lock them up. Send them to another country. Bury them in some university somewhere. It's going to be a war. Big one. Oh, yes. And after that war, they will actually, if anything is left of it, they will globalize Jerusalem and make it an international city administered by the United Nations. And the whole Middle East will be occupied by the United Nations peacekeeping forces. And most of them will be Americans. Don't you see the pattern, folks? Haven't you been watching all these years? I've been telling you this told you this was going to happen a long time ago. Here it is. It's happening. Right under your noses. Absolutely amazing. I'm amazed. Aren't you guys amazed? Anything amaze you anymore? I'm constantly amazed. Well, you know, if you don't think the public's going to bite on this, listen to this article. Now, I want you to go to WorldNet Daily and get a copy of this. I want you to take it down to your local copy place, and I want you to run off thousands of copies and give them to everybody that you meet. Okay? It's a column written by J.R. Nyquist on WorldNet Daily. WorldNet Daily on the Internet. The title is "The Public Stupid." You know the answer already. I've been telling you for years. Now you're going to hear it from somebody else. See, I'm not the only one who knows how stupid this nation has become. Listen to this. Now, remember, folks, I want you to go to WorldNet Daily and get a copy of this column, print it out, take it down to your local copy place, run off thousands of copies, and hand them out to everybody that you see. Everybody in America needs to read this. It's shameful. It really is. But it's absolutely true. It hits the mark. It smacks you upside the head, and everybody needs it. Really. It's amazing how just absolutely dumbed down this nation has become. And not only dumbed down, but actually stupid. Actually stupid. He's going to tell you that. But before I get into the article, I got to tell you, it's February and we need your donations. Without your donations, we cannot succeed. Need them now. We're way behind on WBCQ. We're behind one payment on the building here. We've been able to keep the phone bill and the electricity bill and the, you know, feed me and the dogs and the chickens and, you know, take care of everything else that's needed to be done. That's all been taken care of. Huge electricity bill, huge phone bill here. You have no idea what it takes to run all this stuff. It's just, it boggles my mind sometimes. If you didn't donate for January, then send in a double payment for February, okay? 101.1 FM, that's HOTT, H-O-T-T, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, that's P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's HOTT, H-O-T-T, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Do it now, folks. Don't wait. We need it now. Okay, here's the article. Listen carefully. This is going to blow your mind. This guy's hit it on the head. He's telling in this article what I've been telling you for years. This is why I call those great herds of grazers out there sheeple. Because that's what they are. You see, when the Illuminati says a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals that have no intelligence, such people are beasts of burden and steaks on the table by choice and consent, they're absolutely right. Absolutely right about, and it pertains to most people. Here's the article. It's entitled, Is the Public Stupid? By J.R. Nyquist. Is the public stupid? It's a question that occurs to those of us who were awake during the nightmare of the last 8 years. After all, the public voted Bill Clinton into the presidency twice, and Al Gore actually won a plurality of the popular vote last November. So it makes sense to ask if the American public is stupid. After all, they elected a draft dodger who supported the communist cause during the Vietnam War. See, I told you he was a communist, folks. A lot of people didn't believe it because I said it. Well, here's somebody else who's saying it. Anybody who does any research into this guy finds out that Bill and Hillary Clinton are communists. No question about it. Okay, here we go. So it makes sense to ask if the American public is stupid. After all, they elected a draft dodger who supported the communist cause during the Vietnam War. And true to form, Clinton gave China, Vietnam, and North Korea whatever they wanted. Even his bombing of Serbia, which accomplished nothing for United States interests, strengthened the regimes in Moscow and Beijing, giving them a moral argument against us. So the public made a terrible choice in 1992, which was seconded in 1996. And then came Al Gore, whose extreme environmentalism, reflected in his book, Earth in the Balance, should have scared the public into voting for the Republicans by a substantial majority. But Al Gore won more votes than George W. Bush. In other words, we barely escaped catastrophe in the 2000 national election. In that event, California's power shortages would only be the beginning. After 4 years of pushing extreme environmental policy, Gore would have guaranteed rolling blackouts from sea to shining sea. Tens of millions of Americans would have been thrown out of work. Wow. Gore would have given new meaning to the term Dark Ages. But the public is yet confused on environmental issues. Here in California, the environmentalists take no blame for the lack of power. The news brings fresh stories day by day of power company greed. Wow, all that evil in the world so I can have cheap power. Better wipe those power companies out of business. That'll show them. And so, quite sadly, the public was easily persuaded and continues to be persuaded by the advocates of a new dark age. Add the Green Party vote to that of Mr. Gore, and you will find that a clear majority of Americans, to put it bluntly, voted to turn the lights out. So one cannot avoid asking the question, is the public stupid? Adolf Hitler thought so. In fact, his career was based on the stupidity of the German public. Surprisingly, Hitler admitted this at the outset of his career. In his book, Mein Kampf, he wrote that the Marxists of his time were the masters of political propaganda. In other words, they were his teachers. As for the political moderates and conservatives, Hitler said, the correct use of propaganda has remained practically unknown to the bourgeois parties. Propaganda, said Hitler, was to be directed against the masses, and the masses, he said, were stupid. The content of propaganda is not science, said Hitler. The content of propaganda, he said, calls the masses' attention to certain facts, processes, necessities, etc. But these facts need not be true. One might bring up the idea of global warming, which justifies extreme measures. One might say the rainforests are dying as a way of extending your power while depriving individuals of power, in effect electricity. You bring these facts forward, even if they are not facts. This is the basis of propaganda. This must be done skillfully, explained Hitler, so that everyone will be convinced that the fact is real, the process necessary, the necessity correct, etc. Does one have to prove something scientifically? All propaganda must be popular, and its intellectual level must be adjusted to the most limited intelligence among those it is addressed to, wrote Hitler. A propaganda which only aims at intelligent people will not accomplish anything. If you demand intelligence from the public, if you expect them to rise to a higher level, you will be disappointed. The more modest its intellectual ballast, explains Hitler, the more exclusively it takes into consideration the emotions of the masses, the more effective it will be. In other words, the public is stupid and does not think. Instead, it relies on its emotions and feelings. But what is the IQ of a feeling? It is also a mistake, said Hitler, to make propaganda many-sided. The receptivity of the great masses is very limited. Their intelligence is small, and their power of forgetting is enormous. Because the public forgets so quickly and easily, propaganda must be repeated often. You must establish a virtual drumbeat of repetition. Ashcroft is a dangerous right-wing extremist, is something you repeat again and again. Republicans are divisive, would be another commonly recited phrase. When examined closely, these ideas are nonsense. More often than not, the people originating this propaganda are themselves extremists whose propaganda divides the nation according to race and sex. But in accusing others of doing what they do every day, they insulate themselves from attack. All eyes are turned in another direction, where they're told to turn. The best propaganda is therefore simple and repetitive because it is repeated so often. It spreads and receives reinforcement from all quarters as the stupid public regurgitates what it has learned in common discourse. Where have you heard that before? The broad mass of a nation, wrote Hitler, does not consist of professors of political law, or even individuals capable of forming a rational opinion. What a propagandist fosters is not independent thought, but mass emotion. This was the formula that brought Hitler to power and made him popular with the German masses. It should be noted that Hitler's insights into manipulating the masses were not original. While many leaders ignored the social sciences, Hitler had done some reading. We are told that he had been influenced in his thinking by one of Europe's leading men of science, Gustav Le Bon. It was Le Bon who wrote a famous 1895 treatise on the psychology of crowds. 1895, ladies and gentlemen. Hitler and Lenin, the founding dictators of Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia, both read Le Bon and applied his discoveries. At the same time, with the exception of Teddy Roosevelt, Western leaders failed to do likewise. Consequently, the Western countries have been successfully bombarded by anti-Western propaganda messages for many decades, and these have successfully battered down our institutions and traditional ideas, destroyed our colonial empires, leaving the psychological landscape of the West unrecognizable. Does Le Bon say the public is stupid? In writing about crowds, Le Bon does not merely refer to large groups of people assembled together. He also means something he calls a psychological crowd. It was Le Bon who first explained that intelligence and individuality are submerged when someone joins a large crowd. He noted that certain faculties are destroyed, and the conscious personality vanishes. He noted that people who see themselves as merged into a group, such as the Democrat Party, see things through the filter of the group. They become cognizant only of simple and extreme sentiments. According to Le Bon, a crowd is highly suggestible. In other words, it is waiting to be hypnotized. Hitler used methods akin to hypnotism in his speeches. It was even said that he mesmerized people. The feelings and thoughts of a psychological crowd, wrote Le Bon, are bent in the direction determined by the hypnotizer. Under such conditions, reason is powerless. Instead of saying to the subject, "You are getting sleepy, sleepy, sleepy," the hypnotist might say, "The globe is getting warmer, warmer, warmer." Hitler said that everything could be blamed on the Jews, Jews, Jews. Communist propaganda in the 60s repeated over and over again the statement, "Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh, the Viet Cong is gonna win." Remember that? This sort of madness cannot be stopped, whether it is the madness of California blacking out, or the madness of Treblinka and Auschwitz, or the complete demoralization of the world's leading superpower in a war against a small and outgunned dictatorship. Propaganda is not truth, explained Hitler. With propaganda, absurdity itself is no obstacle to success. Not truth, but error has always been the chief factor in the evolution of nations and the reason why socialism is so powerful today, wrote Le Bon. Toward the end of his treatise on the psychology of crowds, Le Bon makes a curious prediction which may apply to latter-day America. Listen to this carefully. He predicted a future period of decadence. He predicted that the collective ego, national consciousness itself, will atrophy and be replaced by the excessive development of the ego of the individual, accompanied by a weakening of character. Absorbed by selfish pursuits, people will be incapable of self-government. They will decline into a mere swarm of isolated individuals. There will be no future when this happens. Such a civilization, wrote Le Bon, may still seem brilliant because it possesses an outward front, the work of a long past. But it is, in reality, an edifice crumbling to ruin, which nothing supports and is destined to cave in at the first storm. The stupidity of the public goes through many phases, but no phase is more destructive than the phase of individualistic hedonism. Under this phase, ancient social structures give way to mass entertainment. The people, hypnotized by advertising and entertainment, are no longer vulnerable to a Hitler. In fact, they no longer feel like citizens of the country at all. The country is no longer very interesting to them. The question of politics becomes a question of selfish gain. Either people want something from the state, or they want to be exempted from making a contribution. Such people are no longer citizens at all. They are merely consumers who watch the same TV programs and play the same video games. The public is stupid, and its last stupidity, visible all around us, damns it without appeal. Boy. Oh, that is really bad. Bad news. But oh so true. Go to WorldNet Daily, folks, on the Internet. Go to WorldNet Daily on the Internet. Get a copy of that article. It's called Is the Public Stupid by J.R. Nyquist. He's a columnist. Writes on WorldNet Daily. I think they're on page 3. Get a copy of it. Take it down to your local, whatever you call it, Kinko copies or whatever it is. Make as many copies as you can afford to make and just hand them out. Rub it in their noses. Needs to be done. Wow. You see, I'm not the only one that has noticed that most Americans are no smarter than the beef they eat. It happens to be true. And I know it hurts everybody's feelings, and they don't like to hear it, and you know, but it's true. You can't deal with problems unless you understand what the problem is. America has become stupid. America has become a nation of cowards. America has become selfish and hedonistic. You want to see some further proof? Look at the United States Army's new campaign, where they emphasize the army of one, appealing to the hedonistic individuality of today's youth who don't want to be a part of a team, who don't want to make a nation work. Yep. Proof positive. Stupid. I hate doing broadcasts like this because it just breaks my heart. I mean, it's tragic, and it's funny, and it's hilarious, and it's disgusting, is what it is. But it's true. It's true. And look what we had in the White House. When they left, they trashed the place. They destroyed it. Like little children that didn't get to play football one more time. They destroyed the field. That was an attack upon the nation. That's trash. Those people were trash. 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 If they were black, they're black trash. If they're white, they're white trash. If they're oriental trash. They're trash. 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 Scum. Like I've been telling you for years. And the Clintons, Bill and Hillary, took the White House furniture with them that belongs to the nation. Took it with them. Took it with them. Trash. Thieves. Did any of you read Earth in the Balance by Al Gore? You know what the guy stands for? How could anybody have voted for him? Anybody at all? I don't understand it. I really don't. It's like there's no brains left in this country. Or very few, I should say. There are some people out there with brains who know how to use them. But by golly, there's not very many. Most of them listen to this broadcast. Most of the people with brains in this country listening to this broadcast right now. And you'd be surprised who some of those people are. I've told you that before. But so as not to neutralize their ability to perform in their capacity. I don't tell you who they are. But it would amaze you. Patriots are literally everywhere. Everywhere. And growing in numbers every day. Clinton did a lot to help us out. He did a lot to destroy this country, but he also did a lot to help out the recruitment for the militia and the proliferation of patriotism in this country. He woke a lot of stupid sheeple up who thought that they were socialists and Democrats and who don't want to do that anymore. Woke them up. You see, because if that backlash that I warned you about had not occurred, Al Gore would be in the White House right now. Remember that? Remember when I first came on the air and I said Al Gore is going to be the next president of the United States? Simply because by sheer weight of numbers, if everybody votes according to their allegiance, he's going to be elected and nobody can stop it. And then I began to see this backlash. I began to see socialists who weren't socialists anymore. I began to see socialist, Marxist, Democrat Party columnists attacking what the Clinton-Gore administrations were doing. And I saw that there was a backlash coming. I got on the air and I told you George Bush would be the next president. Forget about Gore. This backlash is going to cream the Democrats. And it did. Creamed them. But we're not much better off. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that think Bush is going to clean up the mess and make it all better. The only thing Bush is going to do is stop the scandals. He knows how to keep his pants zipped up. He knows the cigars for smoking. You know? And he doesn't engage in things that are going to create scandal. But he is going to take us closer to world government. He is going to put us into a war in the Middle East. A lot of things old Georgie boy is going to do. Pay attention. Go back and look what his father did. And you'll get some idea of what Georgie's going to do. Because Georgie is his father's son. Make no mistake about it. He is his father's son. Well, let's open the phones now and see what you guys got to say. 520-333-4578 is the number. Phones are open. Ariel Sharon will win tomorrow, hands down, by a huge majority. And he is he's one of these guys that likes the smell of napalm in the morning. Oh, the future does not look bright. 520-333-4578 is the number. What do you think about all this? Oh, did any of you that ordered cameras get your cameras? I'd like to have a report from you. What do you think of them? Was it worth it? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. It's Bob from Tennessee.
Hi, Bob.
A dynamite show again tonight.
Thank you.
It's been a while since I've been able to tune in. I've been out of the country, and tonight's show made me hate I missed all of your previous shows for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Where you been? Where'd you go?
Oh, I had over to Asia.
Oh.
And in and out, and then my computer's down, so I couldn't get you on the internet while I was on the road. So first one thing or another.
And where'd you go in Asia?
Japan, Malaysia, Philippines, going to Osaka, Shanghai.
Did you go to Hong Kong?
I didn't make it to Hong Kong. I've been there, but not this time.
Oh, it's one of my favorite cities.
Hong Kong's nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, they built a new airport, and it's not nicer to go into than that old airport.
Yeah. The food is incredible. That's what I really like. I could spend my life in a restaurant in Hong Kong.
Just very, very expensive there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it's not like here. You spend a lot of money, you're going to get a lot back for whatever you spend.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I'll be going to Shanghai next week, and I guess that's my last trip to Asia until I retire at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did see that Army ad that you were talking about, and it really, you know, those of us that have been in the military and of the old school, when that guy said an army of one, that really took me back.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe that I would hear that.
If I had anybody on my boat in Vietnam that said they were a Navy of one, I'd have thrown them right over the side.
Now, that's exactly right.
Because our lives depended on us operating as a team and obeying my orders without question when they were given.
Well, no matter what the Army advertises, they may say an Army of one, but it won't work that way.
No, it won't. But the Army's not working now anyway. Have you seen their boot camp now?
No, I haven't.
I'm telling you, if we can produce one soldier that can go out and do anything that we were required to do in Vietnam, or the Korean generation were required to do in Korea, or the people who fought World War II were required to do in World War II, it will be a miracle. I'll tell you why. They've set our military up to get their asses kicked if they have to face any modern military force that has had the proper training.
In the business world or otherwise knows that the standards in almost everything has been lowered now to accommodate the least common denominator.
That's exactly right.
I know in my business, which is aviation, it's been the rules are different for one group of people versus another.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, I don't mind working with anyone as long as they can do the job.
Sure.
But, you know, there's certain quotas that need to be met, that kind of thing. And, you know, I think I about decided that I just take a stand when I talk to liberals anymore. And, of course, I know Republicans are not, they've got a ways to go. But at least my point on Democrats, I think, is that you're one of three kinds of people. Either you're a smart anti-American or you're a naive anti-American or either you want something from the government. And that pretty well explains what a Democrat is, I think.
Yeah. That's right. They're either enemies of the nation. They want to destroy this nation and bring about a socialist, communist world. You hit it right on the head. Or they're naive and think that they can actually get that socialist, communist world without destroying the nation and losing their freedom and all that stuff, which is really pretty stupid, I think. Or they're just selfish, greedy individuals who think that they're really going to get everything for free and that the government gets everything for free and can give it to them for free. They don't have a clue of where it comes from.
Well, you know, I work with some pretty intelligent people, and I was talking to one, and by far most of them are conservative, and of course Republican, but there are some that said they voted for Gore, and of course fundamentally on most issues they were not in agreement with Gore, but I asked them, well, why? And they'd always produce one answer, and that's something that they wanted. It may be that Gore was pro-labor.
Yeah.
Or it may be another thing that the one item I think they can get from government, and they're willing to sell their country to get it.
Yeah. Somebody coined this phrase, the greatest generation for the World War II generation. They might have been greatest when they fought that war, and they might have been the greatest through the 50s and maybe the first half of the 60s, but somewhere along the line, they got greedy and they turned into socialists. And now all they want, they got their hand out, and they want something in that hand all the time. And they'll vote for anybody who pledges to give it to them. They betrayed this country. They are not the greatest generation. They are the sorriest generation because they sold their children into socialism.
Well, I've heard you say that before, and I fully agree with
it. It's the truth.
Well, Bill, good to talk to you. I'm glad to hear that you're alive and well.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Give me a call. Tell me, what do you think about what's going on? Hello, 520-333-4578. By the way, did you see Crusher? His big old mug is on the website. The Mighty Crusher is right up there at the top of the homepage, williamcooper.com, for the whole world to see. You all wanted to see a picture of Crusher? Well, there he is. Go take a look at him. While you're on the internet, go to WorldNet Daily. Find this column written by J.R. Nyquist, Is the Public Stupid? Print it out. Take it down to Kinko's Copies and run off 1,000 copies or however many you can afford and pass them out. Pass them out to everybody. Rub it in their face. They need to know just how stupid they are. If they never know it, they can't ever stop being stupid. That's why I've never missed words on this broadcast. I never will. I can't. I can't sit here and lie to you just so you'll like me. It's not the mission of this broadcast. The mission is to wake up America, is to reclaim and restore constitutional Republican government, to put the tiger, the feds, back in their cage where they belong. They've taken over the zoo. They've broken out of the zoo. They've taken over the city. They've broken out of the city, taken over the county. They've broken out of the county, taken over the states. The animals are running the zoo. Good evening. You're on the air.
John from Michigan, sir.
Hi, John.
With President Bush being on deck now and Dick Cheney, former SecDef, now VP, do you think that Diomi and Dacowitz will die or will they continue on? Diomi being Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute and Dacowitz being the Department of the Army Committee on Women in the Services.
Well, I think the second one, you don't have a prayer of getting rid of. The first one, I think, will disappear within a couple of years.
With the Army's new ad for recruits, it kind of runs counter to, you're familiar with Bill Lind, William S. Lind. He wrote, Maneuver Warfare Handbook. He was the...
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Go ahead.
Defense attaché for Gary, what's his name, ran for president, you know, monkey business. He said that the best ad would be United States military. We don't need you. You need us. Wouldn't that be more appropriate than army of none, or rather one?
No, I disagree with both of them. Anybody who would need the military would be in pretty sad shape, and anybody who thinks they're going to be an army of one or that kind of thing appeals to them as not a team player, which you need in the Army. What we need, and the reason I went in the military originally, was from a sense of patriotism that was instilled in me by the culture in which I lived to make sure that this nation survived because it was the best on the face of the earth. It's not anymore. It's in the process of disintegration. But unless we find patriotic Americans to restore constitutional Republican government and be able to fight in its defense, we don't have a prayer. We're going to be just like the Soviet Union here in about, 11 years.
To emphasize a point, is there an I in Army or Navy?
No.
No, there isn't, sir. And with that, I leave you.
Thank you.
A good life to you.
Thank you for your call. Yeah. See, I was brought up to believe that you went to serve your country because you did it because you cared about the country. You had this sense of being a part of it, contributing to it, making sure that it survived and lasted and, you know, if anybody challenged it, we won. That kind of thing. And, you know, people like me who believe in that kind of thing sometimes end up being used because of it. And I think that's what happened to Tim McVeigh. Tim was a hero from the Gulf War. Did you know that? He was one of General Schwarzkopf's personal guards, chosen because of his heroism. Somebody used him in the pretense of patriotism. If I ever find out who it was, I'm going to make him pay for it. I don't think he really believed that anything was going to blow up. I think he believed he was setting a trap for enemies of the country. That's what I think he thought he was doing. (520) 333-4578 is the number. I'm going to take your calls for the rest of the hour. Don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not approving of what he did. He actually helped blow up that building. And dupe or not, he's guilty as hell. 520-333-4578 is the number. I'll take your calls for the rest of the hour. Is anybody listening who got their camera that they ordered? I want to hear what you think about it, if you got it. I got a note from Ari, who ordered one. He was the first one to get his. He said he took some pictures with that camera and said they were the best pictures he's ever taken in his entire life. He couldn't believe the quality of the lens. You couldn't believe the quality of the package that I sent. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
The only thing that bothers me about McVeigh is, do we have to wait till after he's dead to find out what really happened? I don't understand why he won't say something.
If, because nobody will let anybody in to talk to him.
Oh, he's done 60 minutes. I mean, he could spend
No. You don't understand. What he said to 60 Minutes was not shown on television. Do you know how long they interviewed him?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
A few hours. How much did they actually show of what he said?
What about
10 minutes.
His attorney was on 60 Minutes also. He could have said something on his behalf.
Do you think he got an attorney that was on the level? You see, let me tell you something. I know a lot about this that nobody else knows. I know who John Doe number two is. I know his name. I know exactly where he is. I know the other people who were in on it who helped fund and finance it. The investigation of the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army discovered all of these things. We know exactly what happened and who was involved.
Well, why can't you say who John Doe
is? I did. It's on the website.
Well, can't you just say right now?
Right off the top of my head? No. I've done shows on it. I did several hour-long broadcasts and told you everything that we knew. Where were you?
I mean, you can say it right now. The whole listening.
Go to the website. It's right there. I've done past broadcasts. I don't repeat the same thing over and over and over and over and over again on this broadcast. You either have to listen or you have to go and get the materials that we make available for you.
Okay.
But I don't owe you a damn thing. I've given it to you already. I gave it to you on hours on this broadcast. Told you every one of their names and exactly where they're at.
Would be easy for me to find them on the website. If I knew the name to search for.
Oh, gee. You might have to work a little bit on your computer, you poor little thing. You see? Is the public stupid? You just listened to one. You just heard one. He was afraid. See, he wanted me to say it on the air because he didn't want to go to the website and expend any of his valuable energy. You see? It might make him sickly or something. He might collapse of a stroke. He actually did move his arm. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Willie in Detroit.
Hi, Willie.
Long time talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to give you a little tip about the black legislators. Did you see how they made jackass out of himself, you know, trying to protect Clinton with all of that dirty work that he had done?
Oh, yeah. But they had to keep their socialists in office.
Well, see, the main thing about it, you know, they want to be respected. If you want to be respected, then you got to carry yourself in a way that for people to respect you. But if you're going to make a jackass out of yourself, living low life just like that scumbag they call that Bill Clinton, that's just what he was, nothing but a doggone scumbag.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of blacks are waking up.
I know a lot of them are waking up, but...
They're beginning to see some of these so-called black leaders for what they are. They make their living by pitting the races against each other. They
right.
never make a nickel when they solve racial problems.
You are right. And I tell you, and Jesse Jackson, if you didn't have a racial problem, Jesse Jackson, he would invent one.
Yeah, absolutely. If he had to go out at midnight himself and do something, you bet your life he would.
It's not down there in Georgia and Alabama arguing about the Confederate flag. And the funny thing about it, though, in Atlanta, they're arguing about the Confederate flag and got the United Nations flag flying top.
Yeah, how about that? The United Nations wants to enslave the world. Is the public stupid? they're stupid. They're dumber than dirt.
Every time I go down through it, I tell them, I say, you people are crazy in hell. You hear the flag that is nothing but tyranny and slavery, and you worship it here. And here's another flag here that you call the state flag. I say, it's no harm about that. You were born and raised on this flag.
Yeah, that's
right.
The
flag's been flying down there for ages.
That's a part of our history. They want to destroy our history.
We
can't deny that all these things happened, and we can't brush it under the rug, and we can't get rid of the flags and the history of the people and just ignore it. It doesn't work.
Well, the flag, The flag is the flag. I fly one myself.
Yeah, not only that, but the South withdrawing from the Union and the Civil War had absolutely nothing to do with slavery.
We know it.
It was about states' rights.
Only the ignorant Negro has been taught that.
Yeah, and well, not just the ignorant Negro. There's a lot of ignorant Caucasians out there, too, who also think so. Abraham Lincoln had no intention of freeing the slaves. And he made a statement. He says, I'm not going to free the slaves. But later in the war, when the Union was in trouble, he thought that if he gave the slaves emancipation, that they would rise up in the South and overthrow the Confederacy, and they would win the war real quick. But what it turned out is that some of those slaves didn't want to be freed.
You had freedmen of color already in the South.
That's right, and some of them were fighting for the Confederate side. It's a lot more complicated than anybody even thinks that it is. For instance, in this country, people don't even know there were white slaves. People don't know that there were black free men who lived in this country, who came here free and were free, who owned black slaves.
That's true. Not only that, man, my grandfather was chased off the plantation in Virginia all the way to Georgia. He ran off and left his wife and his daughter.
Wow.
My aunt told me the whole story about it.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, Sherman and his troops burned everything. They burned their huts.
Yeah.
Chased them off the plantation.
Yeah, that's right.
So but the whole thing in nutshell is this, about freedom. We got our freedom. But they want somebody to give them something for nothing. And that's, see, the NAACP, if they get all of that money from the UAW and the CIA, the CIA and all of those different union organizations, they get that money from them. So if they don't do what, I tell you another thing, how the flag thing started. You know, when the Atlanta Braves played the Toronto Toronto Blue Bulls down in Atlanta for the first time, what series? Well, Tom Brokaw, he was down there telling the black player from Toronto not to play under that Confederate flag. Now, I videotaped that.
Wow.
That's the whole thing started.
That's what you call making a new story, huh?
Well, they started. Tom Brokaw was the one that started that stuff.
Yeah, I know. And he's, well.
I mean, I'm not talking about what he said, she said, they said. I videotaped him telling those guys.
Oh,
I believe you on that flag.
Yeah, I believe you. I know who you are. I believe you.
I went down to the next year. I said, you people are crazy listening with that damn Tom Brokaw tell you not to do.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I have a Mississippi flag. I got a Georgia flag. I have a Carolina flag. I have an Alabama flag. And I wave them anytime I get. I got them in my car.
Good for you, because that makes you free. People don't understand what freedom is. Freedom is our one uniting common bond, and everybody better get off all of these other agendas and causes and fight for freedom. It's a terrible thing that blacks got their freedom in this country, and we've worked so hard, not just blacks, but many whites and many Orientals and many Hispanics, and a lot of people have worked really hard to get rid of racism and make this truly a free country. And then our own leaders come along and pit us against each other and create problems that try to make us want to hate each other. And that just makes me sick. It just makes me absolutely sick.
And last night, you know, a Black Hawk, you know, helicopter flew over my house last night.
Yeah.
It was flying low. Now, that's an Army helicopter.
Uh-huh.
These Blacks don't say nothing about it. I said, did you guys see the Black helicopter flying over? I said, there's a Black Hawk. I heard you. I said, that's a military plane. I said, now what are they flying over the city of Detroit?
And no plane is supposed to fly below 500 feet anywhere.
Man, they were buzzing.
Yeah. And the restriction is even higher over cities.
But these people, they'll wake up, though, because something is about to happen, I believe.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think you're right. Listen, we're out of time, my friend.
Okay, take care. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
520, that's one of those smart blacks that I was telling you about. He's not an Uncle Tom. He's a smart black. He understands what freedom is. He knows what's going on. He knows how his own leaders are using him to fill their pockets, just like our own leaders are using us to fill our own pockets. And what we have to do is find some common leaders that will do what's best for America and Americans instead of filling their own pockets, are working toward hidden agendas, are trying to destroy this country to bring about world government, or institute socialism, or create a world communist government somewhere way down the line, which is where we're headed, folks, on a roller coaster. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Kuhn Allison. I love you. Tune in tomorrow night, folks, for another live episode of The Hour of the Time. And don't miss our every Thursday night photography broadcast. That's a lot of fun. Been hearing from a lot of people who really like it. I think you will, too. Even if you don't know anything about photography, you'll learn a lot. You really will. Don't forget, folks, get your donations in now. Don't sit around and wait to do it. We need it badly.
With the love and I'm no fool. I picked up my heart, I know I'm true.